You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. In today's episode, Reggie explores how energy manifests as the rich display of our life. He says that we are not a solid self, but rather a continually unfolding process of movement. When we surrender to the energy of each moment, we enter the flowing river of our lives. This talk was given at the 2011 Winter Datun, a month-long retreat held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
In our state of being, there is always energy going on of some kind. And typically what we do is we withdraw from it because it's too threatening. And energy means, and really anything that's going on in our body, it could be depression, little depressed, little down, energy's up a little, excited, angry, irritated, inspired. I mean, those are terms, but they're pointing to something in us always. There's this energy. And from our point of view, from our experiential point of view, that energy is always emerging out of we don't know where. We actually don't know. It's actually coming out of nothing. It's coming out of emptiness. It's coming out of the darkness, whatever you want to say. It's coming out of the body. It's coming out of the unconscious. These are all equivalent ways of speaking. And the thing about energy is, from the viewpoint of the ego, energy is the other. And that's why we're so afraid of it, because it's not something we can orchestrate or manage or control. It's very fearful to be in the presence of our own energy. And so what we do is we pull back and we try to establish our position, you know, my position. I need to have a position. I need to have boundaries. It's basically the boundaries are against ourselves, and that's interesting. Why would you make a boundary against yourself? I need to make a boundary. I need to have really strong boundaries against myself, against my own life. This is the ego's approach. So the problem is we're missing out when we do that. We are totally missing out, because energy is a... energy is the wind under our wings. And when the energy comes up, all we have to do is spread our wings and we can ride that energy and see where it goes. Now, you know, sometimes, this is a Vajrayana way of speaking, sometimes when we ride that energy, or when we think about it, we think, well, then I'm just going to act out and I'm going to, I'm going to hurt somebody, I'm going to say something hurtful, or I'm going to be inappropriately passionate or seductive towards somebody. You know, we feel that we can't really allow ourselves to fully feel what's going on with us because we're afraid. But, you know, that kind of thing, first of all, acting out is a way of trying to offload energy. It's one of the ego ways of trying to get rid of the frightening openness and uncertainty of energy itself. And so we act out. You know, I've got to make this phone call, or, you know, I have to say this angry thing. It's because we can't handle the fundamental energy of the situation. You know, we can't do it. We can't handle our own irritation or our own whatever it may be. And so then the other thing, you know, we might do if, you know, the acting out thing is too frightening for us, then we can shut down and just not feel anything at all. But what we're talking about here is we're not talking about acting out, and we're not talking about shutting down or repressing. We're talking about a much, much more real and groundless and frightening approach, which is to be with the energy of the situation and just go with it and see. It's our energy, and that energy makes a journey. You know, that's the journey. The journey happens when we are with ourselves that fully and that completely, and we just go with it and we see what happens. And the interesting point is that there is so much, there's so much movement in that way of living. And sometimes the energy comes out of us. You know, it's like you wake up in the middle of the night and it's just there, it's happening. Often, maybe most often, it's provoked by situations. The thing is, whether it's an outer thing or an inner thing, really, from the viewpoint of the journey, is irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. It's really there. So this is our training. You know, our training is to learn how to be completely with what's happening with us, and complete, because that's who we are. You know, we're not, when we say we need to accept ourselves, it's not like there's a solid self to accept. You know what I'm talking about? It's not like, here's my image, and then there's this picture on the wall, which is the real me, and I need to accept that. It's not like that. What we are is a process of movement. We are a process of unfolding. We are a journey ourselves. That's all we are. There's nothing more solid than that. And so when we say we need to accept ourselves, we need to become truly who we are, which was what I was saying yesterday, I need to be me. Well, me is only discovered moment by moment. And the surrender into who we are only happens moment by moment by moment. And what we're surrendering to is the energy of the situation, which is, it's empty in the sense it's not solid and you can't get a hold on it. And at the same time, it's bright, it's moving, it's vivid, it's interesting, it's frightening. So during this program, you know, we are going to be deepening, you know, our sense of ourselves and deepening our sense of our human experience. And the challenge is to be with it, whatever comes up. And it's almost like every situation is your partner, your consort, every situation. And the interesting thing about consorts in our tradition is that consorts are the world's leading experts at pushing your buttons. That's all they do, really. That's their main function, is to push your buttons. And, you know, initially you think it's them. You know, wow, you know, you're like, you said this thing. You know, you're like, what are you doing? You know, we're in a situation and I said this really nice thing to you and you insulted me in front of all these people. How dare you, you know, or whatever the consort does. But the interesting point is it's not her problem, it's actually your problem. And it's your problem because that's who she is. She's reality, or he's reality. And your problem is that you get all tweaked about it and you can't handle the eruption of energy that happens out of this irritating situation. You can't handle it. And so you blame that person, you start feeling bad about yourself. Well, if you go over into the residence hall and you get into bed and somehow a terrible mistake was made and the bed is like, for some bizarre reason, instead of being a 6-foot bed, it's a 4-foot bed. And you're thinking, you know, for this next month, I have to sleep in a bed that's only 4 feet long. How is this going to work? I'm pissed off. I'm going to go complain to the coordinators. Well, that's fine. I mean, I would complain if that happened to me. But the basic point is, isn't that interesting? You know, isn't that interesting? You know, reality did this thing, which provoked all this stuff in me. And what is that about? You know, what is the energy? Where is it? Where is that energy in my body? And what is the journey that that energy is inviting me into? Well, we have to get over our reactivity. We have to come back. We have to be with it. And we have to move. You know, we have to be willing to move with it. It's all very, very groundless. And it's all very interesting. And all of the irritations and all of the hopes and all of the fears and all of the swirling sense of the ideas we had when we came here, and all of that is provoking the journey in us. So somehow we have to take it completely personally, what's going on. It's as if there is you, and you know, in a way, you're the only person in the universe. Everybody else is your dream. And the entire universe is swirling around you. You are at the very center of the entire realm of infinity, of all the worlds and all the places and all the beings. You are at the center. And everything that happens is for you. Now, you might think that's just imagination. Well, it actually isn't. It's actually how it is in this universe. There is no fixed center in the universe. There are only billions and billions of centers. And, you know, we know, astrophysics has discovered that even though the universe originated, it's believed this universe originated from one moment and one infinitely dense situation of energy called the singularity, you know, and the so-called Big Bang. And the whole universe happened from that. What you find out is, yes, we're in what's called an inflationary universe or expanding universe, but you can't, if you look at the expanding universe, there isn't any center. It's not like you can take all the universe and figure out where the center is, because everything is expanding from everything else, and everything is at the center of the expansion. Actually, it can be measured. Now, this is one of these interesting facts. It's impossible, but it's true. Well, everything in the universe is that way, including even electrons and protons and strings. Everything is its own center. The only center in the universe is what is. And we are the same way. We are at the center of the entire universe. That's what it means to be. And everything revolves around us, and our job is just to hold that center. Well, from that point of view, everything that happens to us, and this is the Vajrayana point of view, and I think what experientially we discover, the more we practice, that everything that happens to us is for us. And now we're taught to think in a very different way, but that's not, you know, the more you deepen in your own practice, the more you discover that's actually the case. You know, we talk about magic. What magic is the discrepancy between how what everybody thinks and how things really work. You know, we call it magic. I mean, that's an interesting word. I mean, you could call it anything you want to. We call it magic. But the way things work is not the way everybody thinks things work. And the way you find out the way things work is by actually looking at how things work and not thinking about it. And that's the sort of Vajrayana path. We're interested to know how things actually work. And what we find out over time is that everything that happens, happens for our journey. It's as if the universe itself is our consort. And the universe itself loves us so intensely that every moment of our life, it is trying to get through to us and show us our own journey. This is not a theory. It's something that we find out as we practice. And as we more and more let go of what we think things are, and we actually take a look. And that's really, you know, that's what meditation is. It's letting go of our fixation on what we think, what we believe, what we expect, and looking right at our experience and seeing how it actually works. Trungpa Rinpoche once said, the mark of a Vajrayana person is that a Vajrayana person begins to realize there's something going on. And it isn't what anyone has taught them or anything they've read. It's way more subtle and way more profound and way more interesting. There's something going on. And it has to do with the relative world, with phenomena. And a Vajrayana person is incredibly fascinated to find out what that is. And they will do anything to find out. And in our tradition, meditation is the way you do it. Meditation means just you look, and you're thinking, you come back and you look. And people do a lot of strange things, such as this practice called dark retreat, which has been very important, where you go into total pitch darkness for days and weeks and months. That's intense. Now, nobody would do something like that unless they thought there was going to be a payoff. And the payoff is what you find out. One of the reasons that meditation is such an amazingly compelling journey is that the more you meditate, the more you realize that you don't know anything about reality, and that you can't know anything about reality except as it shows up in your face. There is no reality that can be put into words or concepts. There isn't any reality. There's only the delusional thinking of humans about what reality is or might be. The only reality there is anywhere in the universe is the way it emerges out of the darkness into our field of experience right now. Now, when you think about that, that's pretty terrifying, that there's no way to get a purchase on the whole thing. Or to put it another way, that the whole thing shows itself to you moment by moment. Did you just stub your toe? This is what the totality wants to say to you right now. This moment of stubbing your toe. It becomes, the more we offload what we think about reality, the more incredibly compelling each moment is, and incredibly interesting, because that's where reality is. And so all of our thirst to be and to understand and to experience gets completely focused on this moment and what's happening. It's almost as if this moment becomes life itself, and that we live to the extent that we actually can be with it and surrender into it. Now, to do this, we have this little problem, which is we're checked out right now. So the purpose of the Vajrayana path is to check back in to how reality is, moment by moment by moment, and to learn how to go with it and ride it and surrender to it. And it's a journey because, we're always kind of freaking out, and we have to talk to people and they're freaking out, and we get lost, and we think we became enlightened, and then all of a sudden, we run into a tree. I mean, it's a journey. And what I want to say is, once again, what I'm talking about here is making room for who we are completely and totally in this retreat. Judging ourselves, it is such a waste of time. Any kind of self-judgment or, arrogance, thinking we're great, or self-loathing or self-hatred, this is all things we do in order to try to control the consort of reality. Our lover, the most intimate partner we could ever have, is our experience. And experience is reality making love with us. And we are so freaked out about the whole thing, but at the same time, it's what we want. So we're going to talk a lot about Maitri in this retreat, which is not judging ourselves. Do not judge anything that goes on. Now, easy to say, but if you can do that, then you're enlightened. So don't stress if you can't do it right now. It's okay. But when we do judge, the important point is come back. Come back. Realize, okay, I just lost it. I lost this person. I lost this situation. I'm suddenly back in my own, my own sort of delusional, ignorant kind of narcissistic dream. And one interesting thing about what we do here in the tradition as a whole, we pray to the protectors, right? Did you do protector chants last night? Now, some people, you know, it's like confusing. What is that about? What that is about is inviting the universe to bring us back when we get lost. It's that simple. It's a kind of elaborate Buddhist thing. It's not just Tibetan. It's like every Buddhist tradition has this way of invoking reality in the form of these, you know, beings. We're simply inviting reality to wake us up. Please wake me up if I go to sleep. It's like when you sign on to the journey, you're inviting reality to force you, push you beyond your own self-deception into a real journey where you really do become aligned with your deepest being. I mean, from ego's viewpoint, that is really pretty crazy. Meditation is crazy because you're letting go of, you know, I've got it all figured out, and you're letting that go. Or I'm just about to figure it all out. Trungpa Rinpoche said, when you die in the middle of a thought. And that's kind of what meditation is. You're thinking, it's so interesting, you're having this great fantasy, and all of a sudden you just stop. You can stop anywhere. And you have to stop at some point anyway, right? Otherwise you just become psychotic and you're gone forever. So why not right now? And that's what meditation does. It just interrupts the dream over and over and over and over. So that's what we're doing here. And it doesn't matter what interrupts our dream, and for each one of us it's going to be something different. And each moment it's going to be something different. And we are all here. The same thing is happening. My dream is just as interruptible as your dream. And, you know, being here together, we're just going to be constantly interrupting each other's dreams. And then the lineage is going to be, in case there are any blind spots, the lineage will come in and take care of those. So, yeah, just appreciating how bizarre and unpredictable reality is, and at the same time, what an opportunity it is. We can't distract ourselves.
Download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.